Okay, we'll start the mission at the bottom, Bet. That here is discussing, we've mentioned them in the past, but here we're discussing Bnot Tzafchad, who are major contributors to the understanding of Nachla. And over here it's just going to discuss they themselves, what they received. So here the mission says, Bnot Tzafchad, Netnu Gimel Chalakim. They actually got three portions in Eretz Yisrael. Benachla, Chelek Avihen. So the first, which is the most obvious, is their father, is Chelek, which is what they went to Moshe about. Right? When they go to Moshe, they say, Lama Yigara. Right? Why should, because our father had no sons, and Bechetel mate, and he died in his own sin, why should it be that there is no Nachla that comes, or Lama Yigara, the Nachla from our family? And Moshe says, "Came benot chavchad dovrot," right? That they're correct. They're right. So here's they got their father's tzlafchad's portion. Shaya im yotzei Mitzrayim, because he was one of those that left Mitzrayim. So we'll have to discuss why that's relevant. Then v'chalko im echav v'nichsei chayfer. Tzlafchad's father Chayfer also was one of the yotzei Mitzrayim, and when he passed away, all the brothers were entitled to evenly split the possession of Chayfer, and they now, who are Bata Ben, they step in place, or in place of their father Tzlafchad, so they will equally divide amongst the other brothers of Tzlafchad, or Tzlafchad's brothers. I mean that Chayfer had land, was divided up between his sons, and they represent one of those sons, which is Tzlafchad, so they will also get a portion in Chayfer's property. And the last, which is Sheya Bechor. Tzlafchad was the oldest child, and he's over in the Notel Shnei Chalakim. Not only did they get the chilek of their father Tzlafchad in Chayfer's property, they got a double portion because Tzlafchad was a bechor to Chayfer. And so because of that, they end up with three portions in Eretz Yisrael. This one difficulty with the explanation is that in Divrei Yomim, it says with regards to Tzlafchad, it says, V'adichtiv Divrei Yomim, Shema Sheni Tzlafchad. It says that Sheni is actually the second child and not the first child or not the oldest. So the Rashbam here explains that it's referencing back to, it's describing the families of Chayfer and Gilad. And so it says that when it says Sheni, Tzlafchad Sheni, means that he's a ben beno, means that he's a grandson of Gilad. And that it's not referencing Shema Sheni, meaning that he's the second son of Chayfer, but rather he's the second generation from Gilad. That's how he explains it, in order to not have a problem here, of that it was a bechor and he took a chilek. We're going to learn everything will be learned out from Sukkim along the way. So now, Tano, Kamanda Amar, Lo Yotzei Mitzrayim Nidchalka Haaretz. So now the Gemara tells us, or concludes, and we'll see what these opinions are. We're going to have a brace that explains all these opinions, that it's clear that our Mishnah believes that Eretz Yisrael was Nidchalka to those that left Mitzrayim. That they were the representatives, or they were the number by which Eretz Yisrael was divided. Tanya, we have a brisa. Rabbi Yoshi Omer Yotzei Mitzrayim Nidchalka Aretz. So here's an opinion. Rabbi Yoshi says that from those that left Eretz Yisrael, the land was divided. Shneamar, because it says when it comes to the division of land, it says Lishmot Matot Avotam Yinchalu. Right, to the names of the matot of their fathers, they will inherit it. So who is Lishmot Matot Avotam? Those are the ones that left Mitzrayim. Ela Mana Mikayim. So then what do you do with the pasuk in Perek Chavav, which is the Chiluk Aretz, it's found in Pashat Pinchas, it says, La'ila techalik Aretz v'nachala. So that sounds like these, the people who are standing in front of us, mean that there are two counts. There's the count in the beginning of their sojourn in the Midbar, and the time that they went into the Midbar, Moshe counts them in the Machanot at that point in time. And there's another count as they go into Eretz Yisrael. Meaning in Pinchas is the additional count. In that count, it says that nobody who was found in the original count is existent, right, extant anymore. They all passed away except for Kalev Yeshua Binun. So when it says La'ila Techleik Aretz, to these people you're going to divide the land, sounds like the people that are standing in front of us. And the count that we just had here in Pinchas, these are the ones you're going to divide up the lands, B'nachala. So how do we deal with that part of the Pasuk? It says La'ila Ki'ela Lotzi Et Tefalim. So what does La'ila Ki'ela mean? La'ila Ki'ela means that, wait, there's a qualification of how old you have to be to qualify to receive Nachala. So when it says La'ila means La'ila Ki'ela, that if you were not a 20 years old, I mean the count or the census was done only from people 20 and over. So that means that the definition of those that will inherit the land, or those that Nilchalka Aretz, that Yotzei Mitzrayim, are only people over the age of 20. So just like over here, the census that's taken is over 20. So too, only those people who are Yotzei Mitzrayim were over 20 when they left Mitzrayim, they will qualify to be Nitchaleika Aretz to them. And that means Lotzi Tfalim means those that are less than, right, less than 20 years old. So now you have a possibility here, which is the Rashim raises over here. Imlo Ayalahem Shumarish Yotzei Mitzrayim. What happens if you don't have anybody who went out of Mitzrayim to distribute property to you? So there's a possibility that you have someone who left Mitzrayim who's less than 20. If he left Mitzrayim less than 20, then had right, children along the way. So he's not entitled to be Michalek Baretz because he was less than 20 when he left Mitzrayim. Then the other possibility is that they have uncles and grandfathers and so on. But as long as those uncles or grandfathers left children, right, they get priority in terms of the Yerusha. So there is this possibility that someone like that will not have any Chelek Baretz. I mean, there is this unique circumstance in which someone would come up or have that possibility that they will not have a Chelek Baretz. And therefore, they'd have to join in with either Avi Aviam or Avi Motayam. I mean, they'd have to deal with their grandfather or their grand paternal grandfather, maternal grandfathers, and figure out whether they can get a Yerusha that way. They're going to have to work around and try to figure out where they could fit in terms of getting some Chelek Baretz. Now, that's the first opinion, which is Rabbi Hoshea. Second opinion is Rabbi Yonatan, Omer, the Baye Aretz, Nitchalka Aretz, right? The easier one to explain is that those that entered into Eretz Yisrael were the ones that were in Nitchalek Aretz. Now, why? It's easy because we just read the Pasuk, Shnemer, Leila, Techalek Aretz, Benachala. To these people that were in the census is done in Pinchas, those people that are coming into Eretz Yisrael, they are the ones who are going to divide up the land. So that's easy to understand.
It's also easier because they're in front of us.
Right.
This is Manot of who was.
Right. Exactly. It seems simpler, but Elamani Mekayim, when I did the Pasuk of the Shmot Matot Abotami in Chalu, right, so what is that? What does that have to do with it? Shmot Nachot, why does their Matei Avot have anything to do with the fact that they're inheriting over here? They're inheriting because they're sitting in front of us. They're like David just said, they're standing here. I mean, what's the question about how they inherit? What does it have to do with the Shmot Matot Abotami in Chalu? So Gemara says, Mishuna Nachlazu Mikol Nachalot Shebaolam. This nachala is different than any other nachala in the world. In general, the living inherit those that have passed away. And this is just the opposite. Over here, those that passed away actually inherit those that were alive. So what is that? I'm a rabbi. I'll tell you, explain this to you. You have two brothers of Kohanim who come to some agreement between them. They're going to split any truma or any anything they get from the goan, any matnot kuna that they get, they're going to divide evenly. They had they lived in a single city. One of them had a single child. The other one had two children. The Rashbam seems to have a gears of three children. They went to the threshing floor to the end of the harvest to go collect their trumot. The one who has a single child will go to the Goren and he'll get his portion. Right? The other individual, the other one who has two children or three children, he'll get two portions. And then what do they do? Then they go back, they bring it back to their father. So now you have three portions or four portions, and then they divide it up evenly. So their agreement to divide it evenly, now, even though they have a disparate number of children, and the spare number of children, I'm assuming that's why the Rashbam has three children here, because it's easier to divide afterwards. But if they have four children between them, they go out and they collect from the goyim, and they have four portions. Now when they go give it back to their fathers, right now the fathers have a deal that they're going to split it evenly. So that means each father will end up with two portions. Even though one father has three children and one father has one child. So even though there's an inequality in terms of what they collected from the goyim, but because they are equal at the parent level, that will make the distribution equal. And that's the same thing over here. It has to do with Yotzei Mitzrayim versus the Baye Aretz. The Baye Aretz are the ones that are entitled to enter or to gain a portion in the land. But that doesn't mean that they will remain, that portion remains with them. So for instance, you have two brothers who were me Yotzei Mitzrayim. And now they in the Midbar had children. One of them had a single child, And the other one either had 10 or 9 children, whatever you want to come up with. It's, again, 10 is easier to split, but whatever you want to come up with this scenario, you have an inequality, again, in the number of children they have. So now they are Bayaretz. You have 10 children coming to Bayaretz, they get 10 portions in the land. Now, if we just left it the way it was, each child would be entitled to a portion. But this statement, or the pasuk that says that l'shmot matot avotam minchalo, says, no, now return that property back to the Yotzei Mitzrayim, to the Shmot Avotam. So now what do? You give it back to the original, the two brothers. You give it back to the two brothers. They have now 10 portions between them. They will split those 10 portions, 5 and 5. Now, once you have those portions divided 5 by 5, they'll return them to their children. That means the individual with a single child will end up with 5 portions for that one child, and the one who has 10 children will have 5 portions for his children, only half a portion for each child. So that's what it means, the nachala returns to the father. It means that the living in our morish, right, bequeath to the those that have been niftar, those that have passed away, because the bayaretz now bequeath it to those that left Mitzrayim. And then we look at those that left Mitzrayim, redivide it, reapportion it based on the Yotzei Mitzrayim. And once we reapportion it based on the Yotzei Mitzrayim, then we distribute it to their children, the bayaretz. All right, now, again, in this case, the akpada is that those that are coming into the land be yoter mi, right, esrim shana, they have to be over the age of 20 in order to inherit going into the land. And once they are over 20, or actually over here they're going to be over 20, by definition, those that left Mitzrayim who were over 20 are niftar, because they all died in the midbar. So therefore, when you pass it back, you're going to pass it back to people who are clearly niftar, who are not alive anymore. Because there's no way anybody over 20 when they left Mitzrayim is alive in the census that is going into Eretz Yisrael. So those that are over 20 that are inheriting going into Eretz Yisrael will pass it back to those that were niftar, and those that are niftar will redistribute, reapportion it based on that.
Was there Pishnayim among the Shvatim in Eretz Yisrael? Like, Reuven get more than...
Yosef, right? Yosef's the only one who gets the Shechem HaKarach
HaKarach. Reuven was certainly
Bechor. He lost each of the Bechor. He lost the Bechor Kuna went to Levi. The Bechor Malchus goes to Yehuda. And the Bechor Nachla went to Yosef. So Reuven doesn't have it. And Yosef's Bechor Nachla is that he has Ephraim Menashe. Only Yehudi, right? So that, not that there's any particular Shevet itself talking, but Yosef, it's subdivided into two Shvatim. Mm-hmm. Right, now, Reb Shimon ben Elazar Omer. Shimon Elazar comes up with the... I don't know if you want to say it's the Dea Shlishi, but Elu Nitchalka Aretz, that the division to the land was both to the Yotzei Mitzrayim and to the Ba'ei Aretz. K'dei L'kayim Shnei Mikraot. Hello, no problem, because then we can deal with both Sukkim. Okay, it said, Haya Yotzei Mitzrayim, no tol chalko in Yotzei Mitzrayim. If he is Yotzei Mitzrayim, then he takes his portion with the Yotzei Mitzrayim. Haya mi Ba'ei Aretz, if he is from those that came into the land, no tol chalko in Ba'ei Aretz. Mikan umikan. What happens if he's in both places? Notel choko mikan umikan. Then you get portions in both places or in both situations. Now, what does that mean? That mikan umikan. So the Rashbam suggests over here that if you have, he gives an example. Gugun Ruvain sheyab ben chav sheyatzam Mitzrayim bolid banim b'midbar. That he was 20 when he left Mitzrayim, and then he had children in the Midbar, umeit, and then he passes away. Vabanim ayu bnei chaf b'kisat anaretz, and his children are over 20 years old when they land into Eretz Yisrael. So now, notim chalkam b'shvil atzmam, they individually, the children themselves, will get a portion in the land because they are mibayaretz, and they're over 20 mibayaretz. On the other hand, their father will also be entitled to a portion, which is because he was yotzei Mitzrayim ben chaf, and he'll be morish his portion to them, in terms of now he's niftar, and they will divide it amongst the children, his portion. Now he says, v'yish mifarshim, and those that explain, that haya mikam mikan mizbe'echad b'dam echad mairi. That is, we're dealing with one person. Now, we just spoke before that how could it be possible that it's dealing with one person? If you were over 20 when you left Mitzrayim, then you're not, right, you're not there in the next census, you're not in the Ba'ei Aretz. So what? Oh, the explanation, because, no, shayam yotzei Mitzrayim u'be'aretz k'gon, shayatzei Mitzrayim yetar mi ben shishim. He left Mitzrayim when he was over 60 years old. Why? Because the census in the Midbar went from 20 to 60. And that means anybody who was in the census of Moshe was those that were Niftar in the Midbar. So the only two ways not to be in the census, to be lower than 20 and over 60. Right? So lower than 20 is not going to help you over here, because then you're not Yoresh Mi Yotzei Mitzrayim. But if you're over 60, then you could be both a Yoresh Mi Yotzei Mitzrayim and a Yoresh Mi Ba'ei Haaretz. So that was a suggestion, because he suggested from those that were above 60 years old. Now the Rashbam rejects this, and he says, v'lav miltahi. He says, that's not the case. Why? Because mishum ba'aretz lo yitol. Because then you won't get a portion in the ba'aretz. Dichtiv, le'ela t'chleik aretz, abnei yotzei Mitzrayim ho dichtiv. The one that says le'ela t'chleik aretz is based on the census that is taken at the, right, the time that they are going into Eretz Yisrael. So in that sense, it says, it says, the pasuk openly says that there's nobody in this pikuda that was in the previous pikuda. So that means, how could you have someone who is, right, in the original, or was in the Yotzei Mitzrayim, and now he's not? It's talking about the children. It's clearly talking about the children. That's what Rashbam says. He says, you have no proof from the Torah that you could have such a concept. But then he says, but there is a possibility that you could take Shnei Chalgim because of the Tosefta. It brings a Tosefta that shows that there is such a possibility. It just says you can't prove it from the Psukim or the census in the Psukim. So he says the possibility exists that someone would be both Yotzei Mitzrayim and Be'aretz. He says you just can't get it from this Gemara over here or from the Psukim that are being brought over here. Of Le'ela Techalik Aretz, which is referring to the children clearly, right? And the Shmot Avotam, which is talking about the Yotzei Mitzrayim. From that you can't prove that one person would get both portions, because the two are mutually exclusive in the Torah, which says that nobody in this Pekuda that's getting Bayaretz was in the previous Pekuda, so it can't be. Though he says the possibility exists because the Tosefta suggests that's a possibility, but not from the Pesukim that we are reading now. Now, to your question, what about Yoshua and Kalev? We do have some people who are exceptions to the rule, and that the Braisa says over here, Miraglim, Yeshua and Kalev Natlu Chelkam.
Is this a continuation of Shimon ben Elazar?
It's not clear. The Rashbam suggests that maybe it is a possibility that it's a continuation of Shimon ben Elazar. Could be the Divrei Akol, or it could be a continuation of Shimon ben Elazar. It has to be someone who believes that it's Miyotzei Mitzrayim. It has to be someone who believes that Miyotzei Mitzrayim inherited. So that could either be Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar or Rabbi Yoshia, the original, the Tanakhama, right? The first opinion here in the Braisa. So it has to be one of those two. The Rambam seems to say that it's a continuation of Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. That's a continuation of his statement. So Meraglim, Yeshua b'Kalev natu chalkam. So the Meraglim, Yeshua and Kalev got their portion in the land. So the only way the Meraglim could be entitled to land, right, is if they were Miyotzei Mitzrayim, and therefore they had a portion in the land. So instead of giving that portion to their children, their portion was given to Yeshua v'Kalev. I mean, technically, there was someone to inherit their portion, even though they themselves were not entitled, but that was taken away and given and reapportioned to Yeshua and Kalev. Alright, so now, Mitlonanim v'adat Korach. The Mitlonanim and Atkorach v'yelem chalik baretz. They got nothing. Alright, so they didn't get anything at all, and therefore was reapportioned amongst all the Shvatim. Now, the Mitlonanim here are not the Mitlonanim that we know in the, that the Torah calls the Mitlonanim, but the Mitlonanim over here are the 250 people that joined into the Adat Korach. So the Mitlonanim are the 250, Adat Korach is the Korach, right, in Dato. They loyalem chelik baretz. They didn't have any portion in the land whatsoever. So therefore, their children, right, to get nothing, and the reapportionment or the apportionment of the property goes to all the Shvatim. It's really divided amongst all. So every person who's going to the Eretz will get a portion of those that did not get this portion. As opposed to the Meraglim, where it was specifically allocated to Yeshua and Kalev, over here, these are reapportioned, meaning that it's left open, and then when they redivide the land, then they're just not included in the census of those that are Miyotzei Mitzrayim, and the land then will be allocated amongst less people. You just subtract those people from the total division.
The
250
people?
The 250 Matiyak
Torah. Wait, so it was done a year after Mitzrayim. Did they get it and then lose it?
Yeah, they would have had it. The division only happens at the end, in the Midbar, at the end of the 40th year. That's when they do the actual Chalukat Haaretz. Right, it's based on the census from the Yotzei Mitzrayim. Right. They were included in the original 603,000.
And they lost it.
550.
What was really distributed to them.
Right. They never really got it, but they would have been entitled to get it. And now they've lost that entitlement.
So that,
right. But you have all the Reuven, on Ben Pelet, and right, the Tan of Aviram. Those that did have a portion of the land, they lost. So that means that they'll actually have now a series of individuals who have no portion in the land. Their children, right, will have no portion in the land because they don't have their fathers to, you know, bequeath it to them. And beyond that, if they don't have a grandfather or a great grandfather or an uncle, some way to get a portion of the land, again, they'll present it with the same problem that we had before for those that came out of Mitzrayim, who had a father who came out of Mitzrayim who was below 20. They had the same problem, which is that they just have no portion of the land. And unless they have a relative that's up somewhere that they can get some portion of the land, they won't have no portion in the land. Now, before, when the Gemara said, it started out and it said that the Tana Bar Mishnah, Tzan Kaman Damar Liyotzei Mitzrayim Nitchalka Aretz, our author of our Mishnah believes that the land was divided amongst the right Yotzei Mitzrayim. There are two possibilities who the author of our Mishnah is. It could be the possibilities that it's Rabbi Yoshia, or the possibilities that it's Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. Either one is okay. And that's why the Gemara, this is what the Rashbam claims, the Gemara didn't say, Tana Kemand Amar, who's the Tana of our Mishnah, Rabbi Yoshia, or who's the Tana of our Mishnah, Rabbi Shimon Elazar. It doesn't say that because there are two possibilities. Within the Braisa, there are two possibilities of who are the authors of our Mishnah are, and that is both Rabbi Yoshia, who says that it was Nitchalka Liyotzei Mitzrayim, or Rabbi Shimon Elazar, who says it was Yotzei Mitzrayim and Bayaretz, because the Mishnah will work according to either one of them, meaning that there will be a portion of Chefer and a portion of Tzlafchad to distribute to the Benot Tzlafchad, and that will apply to either of those two opinions. And so now the Gemara says, Abanim Natlu B'Zchut Avi Aviyem U'B'Zchut Avi Imotehem. Their children, right, who now lost out because these mitlonanim or korach or the meraglim who lose out on those portions will have to take because of their grandfathers or their paternal or maternal grandfathers who were left in Mitzrayim and then entitled them to land. So they will have a subdivision amongst all the inheritors, right, of those that left Mitzrayim. Assuming that they had a grandfather who left Mitzrayim who was in the bracket that was entitled to inherit the land or didn't die in Mitzrayim. I mean, that they have to have somebody who comes out that will entitle them to property. Otherwise, they will be, again, that's what we said before, mufka from any property in Eretz Yisrael.
Didn't have different sons, right?
I'm sorry?
And didn't have different sons.
Well, they could have multiple sons. That would just get a smaller portion.
Yeah,
meaning that
they were given the gifts of the Aviyah Mimosayim.
There it has to be that they didn't have children, right? Correct. In the case of Avim Motem, it has to be there were no sons, but in the case of their grandfather, from their paternal grandfather, they are part of the Yoshim. They'll divide amongst all the brothers of their father's brothers.
If they're direct descendants of Korach Badaso, and then don't you wipe it at that stage, and then...
No, so what the Gemara is expressing here is that Korach's portion was not given away. Not that Korach's portion that he's entitled to through his father, that wasn't taken away. Right, it's only the portion that he himself was entitled to is what was redistributed amongst all the Shvatim. But not that if his father was entitled to a portion. I mean, Korach's a bad example. But one of the 250, somebody who was entitled to a portion there, right, that the Aviram, if their parents were entitled to a portion and they would have inherited that portion, then their grandchildren, right, or their children who are the grandchildren will be entitled to that. They will not lose that through their parents. Right. Now the Gemara says, "My mashma." There's an underlying assumption in the Gemara here that when it says "lishmot matot abutam," right, that we're talking about, right, Yotzei Mitzrayim. How do you know that? Right? Maybe tiv dilma the shvatim kamarla. How do you know it's not talking about the shvatim themselves? How do you know that "shmot matot abutam" means those that left Mitzrayim, and not the shvatim themselves? That means it'll be an easy distribution here. There'll be 12 portions. It'll go to the Shvatim, and then you'll basically take the family tree and start dividing it along the family tree after the Shvatim have it, the 12 Shvatim, 12 portions. Then you'll subdivide it based on everybody who's born after those Shvatim. How do you know it's the Yotzei Mitzrayim, the ones that are actually entitling the Yerusha over here? In Shmot, when Hashem appears to Moshe and tells him, "V'natati oto lachem morasha ani Hashem," he says that I'm going to give it to you as a morasha, raised in inheritance, ani Hashem. So now he says, when he says, "Natati yota lachem morasha ani Hashem," who is he referring to? Hashem appears to Moshe. He says to Moshe, the people who are going to walk out of Mitzrayim are the people who are going to inherit the land, and I'm going to give them the land that I promised to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and they will be the inheritors of that promise of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. So who is Moshe addressing at that period of time? Who's he addressing? He's addressing the Yotzei Mitzrayim. So he says, that is a morasha. You become the inheritors of the promise of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And who's he speaking to? He's speaking to the Yotzei Mitzrayim. So it's clear that the Yotzei Mitzrayim are the ones who are going to inherit the land. So therefore, if I have a pasuk that says Lishmot Matot Avotam, right, then I would say, well, what's Lishmot Matot Avotam? About two possibilities. One is the Yerush Shvatim. The other one is those that are Yotzei Mitzrayim. But I have the other pasuk that shows me that the Yotzei Mitzrayim were clearly the ones who were entitled or the inheritors of that promise. If they're the inheritors of that promise, then the pasuk of Lishmot Matot Avotam should reference to them. If it references to them, then we know that those that are made Yotzei Mitzrayim are the ones that bequeath the inheritance to the Ba'ei Aretz, at least according to the opinion of Rabbi Yoshia and Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. All right,
according to the opinion that in Rabbi Yoshia, let's say, you know, 4/5 of the people were killed.
Right.
And if they were included in the promise of receiving it.
So that promise is not that the people in Mitzrayim will receive it. It's that there Hashem says, I will take them out of Mitzrayim. And those who come out will be entitled to the Morasha and the Hashem. It's not those that are right here standing in Mitzrayim that are going to receive it. Otherwise, right, you'd have the problem. If anybody who died in Mitzrayim would also be entitled to a chelik. Here, we'll stop here.